the somewhat confusing statement at the end of the Gospel of today's Mass simply means this: make friends with money in the spiritual sense. That is, in this life, make sure that you use money correctly so that it will not be your accuser at judgment time. That's what our Lord means by making friends with the mammon of iniquity. Make your peace in this life so that with money, so that the misuse of money will not be your accuser at your particular judgment. And so today I would like to give you some reminders about avarice. Avarice is an inordinate desire for the goods of this world. And as you know, all things are created by God and are made to serve God. And when they do not serve God for some reason, they become disordered. And so we have a disordered use of things made by God when we are avaricious. And our use of temporal goods is regulated by our state in life. Each one of us has a certain state in life and therefore has a certain way in which we ought to use goods. The President of the United States, for example, would just as efficaciously be carried around in the cheapest car that is made, but it is contrary to his state that he be carried around in a cheap car. So also, each of us has a state, and each of us has a way of living in accordance with that state. Now, since World War II, this country in particular has been experiencing an electric development of its economy. And with that, there has been a gradual rise over the past 60 years of avarice, a blinding avarice, for the misuse of the things of this world blinds our souls to the spiritual things of God. And at this point in our history, and this is true also of the countries of Western Europe, we are very comparable to the bread and games situation of the Roman Empire, where people were given their bread, essentially their money, and they were distracted by their games in the Colosseum and other places, with the devastating effect that they completely lost their morals and became blinded to the supernatural things of God. The situation is worse today, actually, because we are living in a post-Christian era. That is, we are living in an era when the gospel has been preached and has been accepted and is now being rejected. They at least had the excuse that they never heard the things of God. We have no such excuse. And so we have to be very careful about the use of money and avarice. In the 1940s and 1950s, people were content with much less. The typical family life was this, where you had one breadwinner, the father. The mother stayed home with multiple children because people did not practice birth control. And there she kept her home in good order. She cooked, she shopped, she sewed. She was thrifty. That was the home. And because there was a single breadwinner and many children, people were content with a lot less, even in times of prosperity. If we think of the 1950s or even the early 1960s, that was a time of great prosperity. But with the introduction of the evil birth control pill, the family life has been completely turned over. Because on the one hand, it cut down dramatically the number of children, and therefore cut down dramatically the expense involved in raising children. And it also freed, quote-unquote, the woman to now get a job once her children were capable of being placed in a daycare center. And this had the devastating effect of the two-income home becoming the norm, not the exception, but the norm, with the devastating effect that there was no mother in the home. And what you read today and what you see in daily life, when you go out into the world, when you go shopping, the way you see children today, the average child, what has happened to children is indescribable because of this failure of the woman to be in the home as the mother of her children. It has also had the effect of actually making economic life more difficult for the fact that it has made a false prosperity. When you have a two-income home as the norm, what does that do? But naturally raise the price of everything. And the second income does not become a supplement. The second income becomes a necessity. That, unfortunately, is the economic world in which we live. And it has caused us to love avarice, and we have to be very careful of it. Avarice leads to other sins. It leads to lying and cheating. Because once we become attached to money and what money can buy, we search out ways in which to obtain more money. And therefore, the business world today is infected with a great deal of lying and cheating, stealing. People on the take. It is filled with it. Dishonesty, because they want money. And it leads to hard-heartedness. Typically, the avaricious man loves money so much that he cannot make any room for mercy or pity. Now, here are signs of avarice. And I say signs, not infallible signs, but this is a way of looking at yourself to see, am I guilty of avarice? One is the hoarding of things. Are you a pack rat? Sign of avarice. The love of costly clothing, books, furniture. Excessive attention to neatness in one's surroundings. Now I say excessive, for to be neat is a virtue. But excessive attention is a sign of avarice. To desire and to purchase unnecessary things. A resentment of rich people. Excessive attention paid to the price or quality of gifts received. Joy and satisfaction in counting money. Inability to live in modest surroundings. the wearing of expensive jewelry outside of the proper occasions. Desiring or the buying of cars or homes beyond the needs or dictates of your state in life. The malice of avarice is a mistrust of God's providence. For remember, he told us to look at the lilies of the field. And also, secondly, a misuse of the things of God. The remedies of avarice are these. First, to trust in the providence of God. Secondly, to reasonably spend and to reasonably save. Three, to reflect before you buy. Do not buy on impulse. Four, give to the poor and to the pious works of the church. And five, from time to time, give away something that is dear to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.